Ladies and gentlemen, for such a time as this, would you welcome Brother Kenneth Copeland?
Praise you tonight, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, in obedience to your written word, we pray tonight, first of all, for kings and presidents and prime ministers, and we pray for President Bush. We pray for the vice president, every member of the Senate, every member of the House, all of the United States Congress, for every judge, every person of authority, every police officer. And Father, tonight we hold up our young men and women in the military, praise God, wherever they are all over this world. God bless them. We hold them. We hold them in faith. We hold them before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. That the church might live in honesty and godliness and peace. Thank you for it, Lord. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we give you praise and honor tonight for the word of the living God. Thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for these meetings, this opportunity for all of us to come together. Lord, thank you for the freedom we have in this country to worship you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. We don't take it lightly. We stand guard over it in the spirit. We stand guard over it in this natural world, and we'll fight for it to the death. Hallelujah. We stand in the name of Jesus tonight, standing on your word. Victory is ours. Hallelujah. And the battle is the Lord's. Amen. Give the Lord another praise offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn around and shake hands with two or three people. Smile at somebody just as big as you can. Tell somebody you love them in the Lord. Then you can be seated. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, that praise and worship tonight, I mean, that's special, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Man, I walked in the door back there, and the anointing and the presence of God that was coming out of here just hit me when I walked through the door. And I just hollered, Hallelujah! Coming in the back door. Oh, my goodness. God inhabits the praises of his people. I was at Fort Drum again last week. Is Colonel Helton here? Where are you, Colonel? You and your wife here tonight? There he is back there. Praise God. That ain't going to be good enough. I got to shake your hand, man. Come here. Praise the Lord. Come on up here, Colonel. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I set my hands on this soldier. Soldier in the army of the Lord. Soldier in the army of the United States. And I thank you for him and all of them like him. And as if I'm laying hands on all of the military and all of the police officers and all of those that are ministers of God for our good, for a special anointing tonight, to stand in an uncommon victory that comes from uncommon valor, and it comes from an uncommon God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. God bless you, sir. I appreciate you very much. Amen. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Colonel Hilton was garrison commander at Fort Drum when the first couple of times that I ministered to the troops at Fort Drum, which is the 10th Mountain Division, and the Lord just dropped that particular unit into glory in my heart, and for us to specifically pray over them and hold them up before the Lord. And they're my kids. Praise God. Amen. Now, we're that way over all the military, because not only is it a scriptural thing to do, but it's the moral and honorable thing to do. Praise God. Amen. And so we had a big time over there last week, and we got to talking about, you know, in the course of human events, when mean, ungodly, oppressive people violate the peaceful laws of God and bring so much pain and death and heartache on people, and when it gets beyond the local law enforcement authority to handle it, then that's when the Prince of Peace becomes the man of war. And any born-again believer should believe in war. It's part of the biblical plan. And I'm telling you, if you get in there and find out about it and you begin to deal with these issues that we're dealing with right now, and you begin to find out how God planned this victory for us, amen. He didn't... Well, here I go again. I've still got the same anointing on me that I came from there and wasn't home, but just a couple of days and then came here. And I'm so excited about it. I'm so thrilled at what God is doing. And I'm telling you right now, we're about to see the most outstanding victories that have ever been wrought in human life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when the Prince of Peace becomes the man of war in order to restore the peace to humanity, well, you need to be on the right side. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is moving. Great things are happening. And the reason you're seeing a lot of things take place right now that, and people are wondering, what is going on? Well, I believe I can tell you, I'm going to tell you, between now and Saturday night, I'm going to tell you a lot about it. And don't miss in the morning, because we're going to get into the things that the Lord been talking to Gloria and me about 2008. If you were planning on going to heaven at the end of 2007, put it off for at least a year. You know, hey, you don't want to miss this. Yeah, no. You got to stay here. I mean, you've lived this long. You can live another year. There you go. I don't care how old you are. Amen. I'm 71. I'm best shape I ever been in my life, man. I mean, you can do it.
Amen. You believe God.
But anyway, Gloria and I went in to do our Christmas broadcast. You know, you have to do it. It's not easy to do Christmas, you know, in September or October. It was October when we did. But then the anointing of God came, and you know, Christmas this year is in the beginning of the week. And so most of that week, we did six broadcasts, of course. And most of that week then, we were preparing and praying about between Christmas and New Year. And so we're ministering, preaching the word, and just going, you know. And the anointing just kept getting stronger and stronger. And it was the broadcast that'll be aired about midweek between Christmas and New Year. And the word of the Lord came to Gloria and me. I'll read it. The scripture. Jerry Savelle preached on this at the Great Lakes Believers Convention. And when he read it, it went off in my spirit. And I just grabbed my notebook and I just wrote out an agreement prayer right quick based on that scripture and prayed and believed that for the ministry and believed it for our family and so forth. In Romans 15:29, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And so right there, right in the middle of that, the word of the Lord just sprung up on the inside of me. And he said, 2007 was the year of the open door. Coming from Revelation, the third chapter. I open doors that no man can shut. I shut doors no man can open. And he said 2007 would be the year when the doors are open. And things that you thought you'd failed at all of your Christian life, or maybe all of your life, that if you'd rise up in faith and go through the door again, the devil wouldn't be able to stop you and so forth. And he said, now, just because it's 2008 don't mean the door's shut. No, he said, it's still open. And just keep on coming. He said, you're through the door. Now, in 2008, you're going to sojourn in the room. You're through the door, but now you're going to be walking around in the room, man. Praise God. I said, what room? He said, the blessing. Hallelujah. And that's when he said, 2008 is the year of the fullness of blessing, blessing without measure. Woo, glory to God. Jesus ministered in the blessing without measure. Glory to God. Amen. Man, that excites me. I don't want to miss that. Praise God. Not going to miss it. Amen. So, you need to just start confessing that every day. I'm going to talk to you some more about it tomorrow. We're going to get into some really outstanding things. Let's receive our evening offering. And praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Give you an opportunity to raise your income. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would, please. Barry, could I get you guys to turn these fans off? They're a little bit much tonight, please. I appreciate it. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In this 8th and 9th chapters of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, or I should say it like this, the Holy Spirit was teaching by the Apostle Paul. And he was teaching the church at Corinth about receiving, about handling, and what to believe for in an offering. Amen. So, in this teaching, let's start off in the 8th chapter. And he said, let's begin reading with verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So now, he's talking about grace. Now, I want you to notice something here. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So now here was something to receive from grace, from the grace of God, and through the grace of God, that obviously they didn't know anything about. They hadn't heard it preached, they hadn't heard it taught, so they were not abounding in it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God concerning anything, then you're really not strong for, in some cases not strong for or against. You just really don't know what is this something I'm supposed to do? I remember just a short time after Gloria and I had accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You know, I like to went to hell, man. I mean, I was trying to go to hell. Mother wouldn't let me. And we were in this meeting, and somebody gave an invitation. The doctor was head of Bill Reed, Dr. Bill Reed, gave the invitation for people to come receive baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what he's talking about. Well, my mother and dad was spitting right in front of me. I'll tell you, I didn't want to miss anything. If they'd have said, come believe God for a yellow dog, I'd have jumped. I don't know what I'm supposed to get, but if it's an invitation, I ain't missing nothing. I said, Mama, is that something we ought to have? She said, you ought to have that. So I just jumped up and headed up there. Had no idea what they was going to do to me. Amen. Neither did Gloria. She just followed me up there. Praise God. Well, we didn't know what anybody was talking about, but we were so eager. But now you remember the man with leprosy that came to Jesus and said, Lord, I know you can. If you will, you make me clean, whole. Jesus said, actually in the Greek text, he literally said, why, certainly I will. Now, when the man knew it was his will, he knew he could. And when he knew it was his will, faith came out of him. And he received. Well, I mean, he received it right there. Praise God. I will, Jesus said. Well, that's the will of God for all men for all time. I mean, he's no respecter of persons. But when the will of God was known, faith was the result. Now, here's the same thing here. This grace also. He said, now you are abounding in faith. You're abounding in utterance. You're abounding in knowledge. You're abounding in diligence. And you're abounding in your love to us. See to it that you abound in this grace also. Now let's find out what grace he's talking about here. Look at the 9th verse. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Rich is not a dirty word. It is a Bible word. Amen. But we are supposed to prosper in God. The wicked prosper in the world. We are supposed to be prospering in God. It's totally two different systems. One is the kingdom of God. The other is the kingdom of darkness. Now, you remember Jesus said, why do you seek after what to wear, what to put on shelter, what am I going to eat? He said, after all, the Gentiles seek after those things. Well, they have to. It's the only way they got to get them is seeking after them. But he said, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. So instead of seeking after the clothes and the food and the car and the house and all that, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You seek first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things. The way the kingdom functions. Learn how to receive through the kingdom. Now listen to me, because I'm going to say something here in a minute from the Spirit of God that some of you are going to like. Some of you maybe don't like it, but I can't help it. It's true. I'm going to tell you the truth. You seek after the kingdom of God. You search that. You research that. You learn that. And how God does things. And all these things will be added to you. Now let me remind you of another scripture that says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Now if you're seeking it in the world, it's already got the sorrow in it. You can't get it without the sorrow that goes along with it. So it's two different functions here altogether. Now, let me ask you something. Did you earn your salvation?
Nope.
How'd you get it?
By grace,
didn't you? Yeah. Did you earn the infilling of the Holy Spirit?
No. Nope.
How'd you get it?
By grace.
By grace. Did you earn your healing?
No. Nope.
How'd you get it?
By grace.
What made you think he's going to have to earn your money? See, it says here, it's by grace.
Amen.
It's by grace.
Amen.
Well, I thought the scripture said we had to work. I wasn't talking about you quitting working.
Yes, amen.
No. But there's a difference in working, earning a living, and working on assignment. All the difference in the world. I mean, you can take a minimum wage job. If that's where God called you, was to flip burgers or mop floors in a McDonald's someplace. If he calls you to be there, he didn't call you there because he intended on you living on $7 an hour. He calls you there so you could take the blessing in there in that place. Praise God. He'll take care of you. Well, I just don't see how he ain't going to do that. All I'm getting is, $7 an hour or whatever it is. I'm so glad you brought that up. Because God had you in mind when he wrote this 9th chapter. Turn over there with me now. In verse 6, But this I say, he, say he.
He.
Means me.
He.
This is any he. This means he and she. This is not talking about gender. It's talking about human beings. He which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man. Who's every man? He. Every man is the he in verse 6. Every man. So this is spiritual law. It has nothing to do with where you work. It has nothing to do with your background. It has nothing to do with where you was born. It has all in the world to do with being born again. See, this is kingdom of God business here. Now, notice carefully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So your giving should have purpose. Amen. You ought to already have this prayed out. You ought to know what your purpose is. You ought to know why you're where you are. And you, all of these things. You ought to be in God's master plan for your life. Now, if you don't know what God's master plan for your life is, why are you wasting time doing something else? You need to make that priority one and find out where you're supposed to be. Amen. Because God has a plan for you. And the word says his wisdom is hidden for us, not from us. My goodness. Some people have the idea that God just works trying to keep you from finding out anything. Well, listen, if he didn't want you to find out anything, you could forget it. He is God, you know. Ask Satan. Amen. He has to get it from you. He can't get nothing off God. So, go back here with me again. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give. Not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now listen to this. God is able to make. Make. He is able to make all grace. Not just one or two of them or three of them or four of them or grace for this or grace for that. All grace. All grace. Abound towards you. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things. That is the definition of rich. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Hallelujah. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now, I want to talk to you here for a moment. This is not just part of the offering because the Lord has instructed me to get deeply into this over this. This entire meeting. I said for years, you know, he provides bread for the eater and seed for the sower and multiplies seed, so on and so forth. And I said that one day in my prayer time. I'm just kind of walking around and I said that out loud. And the Lord stopped me and corrected me. Stopped me right there. He said, that's not right. I said, well, what do you mean it isn't right? He said, go over there and get you, and look at that. Open your Bible and look at that. So I looked at that. Now he, it didn't say he's the provider. It said he ministers it. See, grace ministers to you. Huh? Now, I'm telling you, we just got through saying that the believer should not be attempting to earn his living. He should be giving it. Now, there's nothing in the world wrong with you being paid for what you do. But that's not your limit. That's not your living. That's your seed. Some of you are going to get this in the middle of the night. And you're going to come roaring out of that bed and say, oh my God, I'm rich. Because you're the child of a king, you understand? Now get this. Think about it. Let this work inside you. He that ministers, he ministers it. He is the high priest. Let me talk to you a second about the high priestly ministry, because this is where we're going for we're going to get as far into the high priestly ministry of Jesus as the Holy Ghost will let us go. Amen. We've majored on the lordship ministry of Jesus, and that's wonderful and fine, but now it's time to step over into the high priest. Praise God. Now, the word translated priest, translated minister, same word. It's been translated by some religions. It's been translated by some denominations as priest. It's translated by others as minister. It's translated into English concerning government, and particularly in parliamentary government, because they have ministers. They have government ministers. And it comes from the word administration. We're talking about heaven's administration here. You understand? This ain't nothing religious about this. This is government. Heaven's government. See? And we have a tendency to think of the word priest, you know, as just out there somewhere, totally religious. No. Set that aside right now. We're talking about administration. Now, notice this. He that ministers seed to the sower, both, say both. Both. Ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sow. What is saying there about you earning your bread? No, the scripture says in the book of Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more. Let him work with his hands that which is good, that he might have to give to him that needs. What has he become? When he starts giving to him that needs, he has become a minister under the minister of bread for somebody's food, seed for somebody to sow, and in some cases, the multiplier of seed sown for another man. You missed a good place to shout. This is what the church is supposed to be ministering to the world instead of going out there and begging them for what we get. We're not supposed to get the leftovers. Every Christian person, every Christian is supposed to be abundantly blessed beyond
measure. Amen, I agree.
You ought not be out begging, asking for nothing.
Amen.
Right.
When people need something, you and I need to know how to pray and move in there, praise God, and take care of the situation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We saw that with Katrina.
Uh-huh.
It overwhelmed natural-minded government officials. I mean, don't put the government down over that. You wouldn't have done much better. You're just rocking along, depending on, you know, your old fouled up plan of doing things until an overwhelming storm hit. And it overwhelmed all of the previous plans. Nobody knew what to do with it. And the confusion set in. Where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. And so, natural-minded men and women, government or no government. I mean, some of them was in government, some of them weren't. Some of them, it was the people in the storm. I mean, then nobody knew what to do. Everybody just walking around wondering, what is all of this? But when God's people got hold of it, I mean, we didn't waste time on any red tape. That's what I liked about the way Governor Huckabee handled that over in the state of Arkansas, because when it hit, he saw it coming on television, and God started dealing with him about it. And so he started making plans before the storm ever hit, and he didn't have but two words to say to all of his people. One, you treat everybody like you want to be treated. He said, now, if some seven-year-old child gets off of a bus, then you treat that child the way you'd like if it's your seven-year-old child. Some elderly person, you treat them like if it's your grandmother. And he said the other thing is, get the job done with, fill out the papers later. Well, they had an influx of 75,000 people came in the state of Arkansas. And the state of Arkansas, not very big. Man, it would have taken something like 300,000 or 400,000 people coming into the state of Texas to affect Texas the way 75,000 affected the population of the state of Arkansas. And they just handled them. Yeah. But they were ready. They didn't wait for some other government entity to tell them what to do. They just stood on the word of God and went and got the job done. Like he said, fill the papers out later. Well, it was not because he's so much smarter than the other governors of other states. It's because the man listened to the Spirit of God. He was praying. He was on his knees in the floor when that storm was coming towards New Orleans. He was crying out to God, my God, show me what to do. Well, I have to know your plan. I got to know what to do here. Instead of saying, my God, what are we going to do? He was saying, my God, what are we going to do? Well, it's the same words, but it's two different things. You say one of them by faith. Somebody said, you campaigning for Governor Huckabee? Yeah. Amen. As hard as I can. Amen. Well, you know, it's illegal for me to endorse him as a ministry and all of that kind of thing and da-da-da-da-da, but I ain't endorsing him. I'm just telling you who me and Gloria are going to vote for. Hey, hallelujah. Yeah. Yes, sir. We called his office and I don't have anybody on that television broadcast, including my own children, anybody else not anointed to be there. That's a holy thing. And I called his office and I said, now I understand if you can't take time out of your campaigning and so forth, but I would like to have you on our broadcast. Now, I don't want you in here talking about the campaign or anything that has to do with the campaign. But I said, I read your book in the mid-90s on character is the issue, and you used the phrase integrity of character in that book. And I said, it caused me to go back and restudy the New Testament concerning character and the integrity of character. And I said, that's what I want you to come on the broadcast and talk about. And he did. No, he said, man, forget that campaign. He said, I'd rather come do that. So he came. We never mentioned politics. We never said a thing about it. And, of course, I announced and to make it proper before he's broadcast, I said, he's not here campaigning. He's an ordained minister of the gospel, and we're going to talk about the integrity of character. Because the previous governor of the state of Arkansas that became president had made a statement saying character is no issue if the man can do the job. So Governor Huckabee came back and said, character is the issue.
Yes, it is.
And we spent 6 days on that issue. Man, oh man.
I learn more about the integrity of character from the Spirit of God. I tell you, it's time. I'm not just talking about President of the United States. I'm talking about every office in the land. I'm talking about every pulpit where somebody comes up and says, good morning in the name of Jesus. Praise God. I'm talking about integrity of character and the power of the Holy Ghost from the pulpit to the forest region, from coast to coast, border to border. Praise God. Amen. It's time for the country to flip itself, or have God flip the thing back upright again. And it's being flipped right now. Amen. And it's time for you and me to start shouting about it, because God's healing the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. Anyhow. Ministers. Seeds of the sower. Well, if you're born again, doesn't the scripture say that you have been made unto our God kings and priests? Kings and ministers, lords and ministers. Now, separate the religious part of it out of your mind. Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And he is Priest of Priests. Amen. He is Minister of Ministers. We're talking about God's heaven's economy and administration. And you and I are a part of that economic system. And it is to meet the need of every person according to his riches and glory. My Lord, my God. Well, how are you going to do that if you ain't got any of it? Huh? I'm supposed to be, if I have some, and God's talking to me, I'm supposed to help get you and help you believe and give and whatever God leads me to do to get you some seed to start on. And then you're supposed to believe God. And Jesus is the minister of the multiplying of the seed sown. Well, now, ought to be a come a time, you may have been believing for food on your table, you know, and seed to sow. But there ought to come a time when you are part of the multiplying process.
That's right.
You ought to be multiplying somebody's seed.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, not only that, look at the rest of this. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. What's the fruit of your righteousness? That is ministering the word, getting people born again, getting somebody healed. Amen. The believer lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Where, that's, what is that? You're a minister of Jesus. Amen. I mean, that's the simplest part of Christianity. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. Do it. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing here. Increasing the fruits of your righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Why does he want to add all these things to you? So you can minister bread for somebody's food. You can minister seed for somebody's sowing. You can minister the multiplication of somebody's seed sown and get them healed where they can get out and go do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, what are you laughing about? Well, I used to be a poor boy. And it upsets the devil to no end when a believer... Let me tell you something. You know what the devil's absolute worst nightmare is?
a born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking, healing believer with money. I mean, that is just the worst news he ever got in his life. Because as long as he can control the money, you can shout all you want to, but you ain't going to do much. Oh, it upsets some folks. But I can't help it. You just have to get upset. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We receive your direction. Oh, dear God, forgive me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Oh. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, well, I might as well tell you what's going on inside of me. Oh, Lord God. And what are you laughing about? Well, the first thing was the joy of the Lord that rose up on the inside of me. And the thing that tickled me so was the devil lies and tried to tell me he's going to take it away from me. Oh, oh. Hallelujah. I mean, hey, what if worse come to worse? Absolutely worse come to worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Most worstest thing that could happen. You go absolutely flat broke, you ain't got a dime, and you just fall down dead in the floor. The next thing is stunning.
Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. That is the worst thing that could happen to you. But now the devil, on the other hand, there ain't nothing good going to happen to him ever. He has no future. All he's got forward to look forward to is hell, and then he's going to graduate to the lake of fire. Forever and ever. So the next time he comes threatening you, trying to scare you, trying to get you the idea that he's going to take something away from you. Say, hey, let's don't talk about me. Let's talk about you. You dumb jerk. You had it all. You were the anointed cherub. You were the most beautiful of all the angels. You were Jesus' own personal servant. You were the height of all the musicians and all of that. You idiot. You dumb, dumb. How stupid can you get to attack God? You bozo. That's like a computer attacking Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And you look at the computer and say, where did you come from? You're going to attack me? I don't think so. Unplug him. Oh, hallelujah. Father, thank you. Reveal to each of us what you would have us to do concerning this offering tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless, and we receive, and we bless the people. We bless their giving, and we announce and pronounce over it the blessing of the Lord, and it maketh rich. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You need an envelope for your giving, raise your hand, and ushers would be glad to wait on you with that envelope. And be sure and don't write in other tongues, please. Print. Somebody can read your name and address. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Ushers, after you pass out the envelopes, go ahead and receive the offering. Amen. Candy, come on, baby. Candy LaFleur, give her a hand. Let the Lord be blessed. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we come before the word tonight expectantly. Oh, my. Open the eyes of our understanding. We receive revelation from heaven. Words from heaven that move God on the earth. Men and women are saved by hearing and believing words. People are healed by hearing and believing words. Your word. Hallelujah. My. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles, first of all, to the book of Hebrews. We're going to read several verses of Scripture tonight. Most especially from the book of Hebrews. Also, you can look up 1 John, Little John. The kids were little. Kelly would say, Matthew, Mark, look at John. and then later on, that's the way they remembered the gospel. Amen. First John and then in the book of Hebrews. And let's begin with the second chapter of Hebrews. No, let's go to first chapter. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manner spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed. Say appointed. Amen. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, if you want to be upheld, get on the word. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, you remember in Philippians chapter 2, it says, and he hath exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name that is named, that at that name every knee shall bow, of beings in heaven, beings in earth, beings under the earth, and every tongue shall confess. Or in other words, at that name every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that's the King James translation of it. And it's fine except for one word. And in this case of this one word, and you see it right here, except for that one word, he didn't give him a name which is above every name. He gave him the name which is above every name. Now, if you want to be absolutely exactly scriptural correct about it, which we do, we say, and he gave him his name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Well, I'm seeing I have to deal with this for a moment. In fact, if I remember, this is where we were when we closed last year, right in that same place. We're dealing with that name. Theologically called the Tetragrammaton, or the name of himself. God is not in the Hebrew language. That was introduced, at first introduction was from the German language, in translating certain Hebrew words. Well, you won't find the word God in the Hebrew language. You find different names. And all of them translated God in our Bible. And in an attempt to translate the Tetragrammaton, or the four letters, Yud, He, Vav, He, we see it a few times as Jehovah, which is an Englishized version of it. And nobody but English-speaking people translate people's names. I don't know whether it's just called we smart aleck or what, but we're really the only people that do that. You know, if Juan Gonzalez comes to see you, you don't introduce him as John Gonzales. Just because you introduce him in English, would you? Certainly not. You would never do that. Well, we shouldn't have done that where Bible names are concerned, but we did, so we have to deal with it. And don't get all shook up over that. I mean, Jesus knows his name, you understand? And I guarantee you, when faith rises up on the inside of you and you speak the name of Jesus, I guarantee you Satan knows exactly who you're talking about. And there's power in that name. Hallelujah. But now, this is something that builds faith in the name that I'm speaking to you about right now. That name is translated most of the time in the Old Covenant is capital L, little capital O-R-D. Yud, He, Vav, He in Hebrew. The Hebrew may have four letters there. This is the name that the Orthodox Jews will not attempt to pronounce. And when the scribes wrote it, when they wrote it down, before they would write it, they'd get up and go bathe, go wash, and cleanse themselves, come back and write those four Hebrew letters. And I don't care, like in the 45th chapter of Isaiah, which Philippians 2:9 comes from. This was a quote of the 45th chapter of Isaiah, and it uses Yud Hey Vav Hey, God bless it, 16 times. So, whomever wrote that had to go bathe 16 times before he would come back and write that name. And it wasn't that he had to. He was honored to. It's that holy and that righteous and powerful. And to use it in vain is a very, very dangerous thing to do. And finally, the Hebrews became to the place, the Jews came to a place where they said, we're not going to run the risk of saying this in vain. And so I just wouldn't say it at all. Which was, in my viewpoint, a mistake. And they call God other things. They call him the name, Hashem. The name. Well, and they know what they're doing. But when you withdraw in fear, you're not speaking it in faith. And the scripture says to have faith in the name. Amen. But then that's another matter. Now listen to this. He has exalted him, and he has given him his name, which is above every name, that at that name, at the name of Yeshua, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh to the glory of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh the Father. Now, where that really gets sticky is when you come across a scripture in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians and says that the whole family of God, both in heaven and in earth, has been named after him. Oh, that'll put a growl in your faith when you when you begin to realize, oh dear God, oh my, born of his spirit. Hallelujah. Named after him. You have as much right to speak that name in strength and power. Amen. As Jesus himself. You speak the name of Jesus with authority. Just the same way Gloria speaks the name of Copeland with authority. She doesn't stand there and wonder if they're going to cash this check because she wrote the name of Copeland. It's her name. Amen. Amen. Where'd she get it? In covenant. In covenant. We got a covenant with God. We have a covenant in the blood of his son, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are the bride of Christ. We are the married wife of Almighty God. And we have his name. I think I'll preach myself a little while. Hallelujah. It's shouting time. Sometimes I just can't hardly stand it. I don't preach myself so happy. I was pretty happy when I got here. Praise the Lord. Now notice. He purged our sins. And he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than all of the angels, and you inherited it from him. You are his joint heir. Now, we see in the rest of this chapter the very words that God spoke when he raised him from the dead. These are the words that he spoke when he raised him up. Now let's go into the second chapter. Let's go to the 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, so that through death he might destroy. And the word there translated destroy is translated paralyze. It is translated totally and completely incapacitate. It is translated rendered completely useless. Now, let me give you an illustration of this word, because none of those, all those words together don't really say what this word says. Good friend of mine, pastors up in Minneapolis, Mac Hammond. Mac was in the Air Force. He was the youngest aircraft commander on active duty in the United States Air Force. He was left seat in a KC-135, which is a 707 turned into a tanker, is what a KC-135 is. Big airplane, crammed full of jet fuel. Southeast Asia, hot, muggy, high humidity, everything that jet airplanes don't like. The thing is taking off. There's no safety measures at all. This is military flying. This ain't civilian flying, man. I'm telling you, you didn't load the thing up, you know, and you just fly it down to the end of the runway and yank it off. And the whole mission is to fly out just outside the IP, and you're circling out there, and fighters and fighter bombers are on a mission. Well, you got an airplane with an endurance of about maybe 2 hours, but with that tanker sitting out there, you can have 6, 7, 8 hour missions, and he's sitting out there in an orbit waiting for you to come back and get more fuel and go back in. Well, they took off. And just as he rotated this thing, 300,000 pounds, most of it jet fuel, just a flying fuel tanker. He pulls this thing off just as it rotates. The outboard engine on the right-hand side seized. It just quit, just seized up like that. Well, that thing is built so that if an engine just suddenly seizes like that, that the sudden stop of torque will just snap the engine bolts and the engine, nacelle, and all just depart the airplane and get rid of that weight, because this thing just seizes. It's just like hanging an anvil out there. So it just sheds it. Well, this thing just, and it's gone. And all that's out there in front of them is this huge rice paddy. And this thing don't want to fly. It is wallering around. Of course, Max got his hands full. But Lynn, his wife, and her twin sister are at home praying, I mean praying night and day. They're believing God. Well, Max looks over there at his number two and his co-pilot, and he is totally frozen. He's not even breathing. He just... The gear's still down. The flaps are still hanging out there. I mean, man, now, that co-pilot is the picture of this word. He's totally useless. Absolutely useless. All he is doing is holding up a uniform.
All right.
He is completely paralyzed. He is somewhere else. His brain is not functioning at all. He's just sitting there. So Mac reaches over, has to pull up the gear and the flaps. And Mac said, all of a sudden, the anointing of God came on him. And he said, everything went into slow motion. He said it was like you had forever.
And he said, man, he's nursing this thing, you know, trying to get some air beneath him. And he's nursing and it's trying to go into that rice paddy, man, all 300,000 pounds of him. And he's nursing this sick whale, but the power of God is working. He nursed it back up and got enough altitude to come back around and land the thing. After he soaked half the countryside in jet JP-4, you know, get rid of some of this mess. The co-pilot never knew what happened. Never did know. They had to pick him up and carry him out of the airplane. That's the word, destroyed him. This is what happened to Satan in hell itself. When Jesus was in there being tortured for the sin of mankind, and he came in there to administrate the torture, the Bible said he rose up, he was made alive in the spirit and manifest in the flesh. Amen. When that happened, he literally paralyzed Satan. How? He scared the hell out of him. I mean that literally. See, hell is a place of fear. It's called a bottomless pit, not because it doesn't have any bottom in it, because it does. Jesus went to the very bottom of that pit. He suffered more than any human being ever did or ever will, because he suffered all sin. Well, there is a fear of falling there all the time. You never hit, you just fall. There's a fear of sickness, disease. There's a fear of everything. And it's all coming to pass because there is coming the resurrection of death. And when the unsaved get their old body back, it's going to have all the sickness, all the disease, everything that you're ever afraid of. You're going to have that in your body throughout eternity. Can't get rid of it. Get rid of one sickness, another one pile right in on the top of you. Now, you know what that is? That's hell. And we can't even describe it. We have no words to describe it. No human being can describe it. Why is that? Why cannot human beings describe that? Because it was not created for humans. It was created by God for Satan and his angels. God made that place so terrible that it is supernaturally more terrible than any human being can ever imagine. Humans weren't supposed to be there at all. It was created for Satan. Now, I want you to go back and look at this now again. That through death, he might completely, totally paralyze. He used Satan's own fear to paralyze him. He is the spirit of fear, to totally incapacitate him. He that had the power of death, he took the authority of death away from him. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now notice, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, say that aloud, please. In all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. A merciful and faithful high administrator.
Now I want you to latch on to that. A merciful administrator. A faithful administrator in things pertaining to God. To what? I mean, he could have been appointed when he was raised from the dead. He could have been appointed a high administrator over all the angels. Huh?
That's right.
Or something else. But now this tells you right here, pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the people. He is the high, the most high administrator of the reconciliation between God and man. That's good, but the best is yet to come. Now look at this. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or secure them or minister to them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. What heavenly calling? The heavenly calling, the heavenly appointment. He appointed him heir of all things. He raised him up to be a faithful high priest, a merciful and faithful high priest concerning the things that have to do with the reconciliation of the sins of the people to God. And we are partakers of that calling.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
His calling. Say it. His calling. I have a calling on my life. You have a calling on your life.
Amen.
Well, Jesus has a calling on his life. To be a faithful and a merciful high administrator unto God. So that means he's faithful to God, right?
Amen.
But to be faithful to God, that means he has to be faithful to us. If he wasn't faithful to us, he wouldn't be any way he could be faithful to God. If he was unmerciful to us, he would not be being merciful. He would not be being faithful to God. I told you this is going to get better. Ooh, glory to God. I can almost hear some of you's heads running. Amen. Now then, partakers of that heavenly calling, consider. Fix your mind. Study.
Yeah.
The apostle. The one God appointed and sent. Or in other words, the one God called. How did he call him? I remember where I was. I realized I was called. Scared this sap out of me. I wasn't born again. I got into a church camp with a bunch of saved kids and got into that spiritual atmosphere and found out I was called to preach. I mean, man, I didn't know, you know, sick 'em from come on anyway. And I just, I got all excited about it, but I wasn't born again. And, you know, I went, that was a week before school started, and I went back to school. I was in high school. Went back to school. Well, the first day in football practice, got rid of all that repenting. Because all I did was repent. I never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I just cried because I was no good. And knew it. Well, I don't work. And so, but I knew I was called. And I knew it for the rest of my days. I mean, I couldn't get away from it. I mean, I'm out there living like an alley cat, man. And I'd come in at night, and I'd say, well, I better pray here. My God, you know what? And I wasn't about to tell Mama that. But God was always just a breath away from me all the time. And I kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. My spiritual life got to, I was in terrible, terrible spiritual condition. And I met Gloria. Fell in love with her the moment I saw her. I had made up my mind love don't exist. I don't love nobody on this earth. They could all die and I wouldn't care. Had no emotional response to anybody. I was so demonic. I was mad. I hated everything. And I made the statement just a day or two before I met her that if first place, I don't think there's anything, nothing real about love. That's just made up something or other. If it is real, I'm incapable of it. And at that point, I was. But I met her, messed up my whole idea, man. I saw her, and I just instantly fell in love with her. And I knew it. And I just, wow. And it started changing me right then. Because God is love. And it started working on me, see. Well, of course, Mama's praying. Mama's the one caused all that. Because she's praying, believing God. And so, I remembered my calling. Now, you have to understand, Jesus, in your mind, let him die. He died the death of sin. He never committed it. But he accepted it by faith as a sacrifice. But nonetheless, he accepted it. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was born again. He was the first man to ever be born from sin to the righteousness of God. Now, make certain you don't misquote me. I didn't say Jesus was a sinner. He was a sacrifice for our sin.
Well, I just don't understand that.
Well, let me tell you. Did you ever commit any righteousness? No, you didn't. Well, he never committed any sin. He was made sin with your sin, and you were made righteous with his righteousness. Same action, same way. But now when he was raised from the dead, he was and is today a born again, resurrected, Holy Ghost, baptized human being. You understand that? He has been born again. He was the first one. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's never again called the only begotten Son of God. He is called the firstborn of many brethren. Here he calls him our brother. We are his brethren. You understand that? Now I got some outstanding news for you tonight. This very moment. There's a man, a human, glorified, resurrected human being in the Godhead. Hey, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. There we are well represented, and we've been raised up, and we've been made to sit with him in heavenly places. My God, somebody shout amen. Oh, dear God. Oh, no wonder the devil don't want us finding this out. My Lord. Now notice here. Consider, fix your mind on this. The one God sent, the high priest, the high administrator of our profession. It's also translated confession. But the word translated profession or confession means more than just saying something. Its literal meaning is to say the same thing. Now that's different. And we'll see this played out here. You know, out of the mouth of two, three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, the second witness is coming up here in just a moment. We're going to see this. Christ. Now you're going to have to translate the word Christ here. What does that mean? The anointed one and his anointing. You can't refer to the anointed one without referring to the anointed. The anointing one is anointed with. Amen. You can't ever separate the anointed one and the anointing. And the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. It is the curse-removing part of the blessing. See? Was there any sickness in the Garden of Eden before sin entered?
No.
No. None. Was there any death?
No.
Was there any poverty?
No.
Well, when God blessed Adam, he declared to him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, fill up the earth with what? With his glory and with this garden. That's what the blessing does. It creates the Garden of Eden and expands that garden. That we have the geographical boundaries of that garden in the scripture. It was the area now that's called Iraq. So that's where the garden was. It wasn't the whole planet. So, God intended for the blessing. See, that was the perfect will of God for all men for all time. Be fruitful, multiply. Amen. Fill up the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over it. Hallelujah. With what? With the compassion and the love of God. Should be blessed. Amen. Well, the blessing itself then was to expand the garden until it became the garden spot of the universe, until the whole planet was the Garden of Eden, full of God's family, heaven on earth. And God fully intends, he never changes. He never changes his mind. We're still going in the same direction. Amen. That's the reason Jesus is called the last Adam. And he is administrator of the blessing. Amen. What does the blessing do now? Well, the first thing it does is remove the curse. If there was no sickness in the garden, then the healing ministry is part of the blessing. There's no poverty, so the prospering in God part of the gospel is part of the blessing. Jesus' salvation ministry. Was there any death in the Garden of Eden? No. Well, then the message of salvation is part of the blessing. The crucifixion was part of the blessing. The resurrection, part of the blessing. It was the blessing that raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Now you working, you stay with me here. We're working on something now. Some of you are looking at me like, you're going to get there. Stay with me. That's the reason we're recording this. You know, I don't hardly know how to act now. We used to get tapes. You probably a CD or a DVD or an MP3 worm. I was a tape worm. Amen. I still use the term, you know, we taping this. Yeah, we MP3 in this. It just don't sound right, does it, man? Okay. Now, stay with me now. Christ Jesus. That's not his title. It's not referring to a title. It's telling you that he was appointed of God. He was sent by God and anointed as high administrator of his word in our mouths. When we begin to say the same thing as the word said, when we begin to say the same thing that God said, when we begin to speak in his name, now he is appointed the high administrator over those words in our mouths to see to it that they come to pass and to see to it no devil can stop it. You understand now? That's his calling. Say calling.
Calling.
We are partakers of that calling. He was called of God to be that. To be that high administrator. To be that priest. And what he's saying here is get your mind on that administration. Get your mind on his ministry as administrator because it is through that ministry you receive. Now, when you get out of line with his calling, you're trying to get him to do something that's out of his calling, he's not going to do it. I'm not going to do something outside my calling. But I've learned over the years, I'm no pastor. I wasn't called to be a pastor. I'm called to do what I'm doing right now. I don't have any business pastoring. I have no anointing to pastor. I have to stay in one spot and preach to the same faces. Forget it. I filled in and I went out of church for several Sundays. I got up there and I said, where is everybody? How come I ain't here? You ain't going to show up. I'm going to stay at home. There, God, I could have got 2 more hours of sleep this morning. I got to be down there preaching to you, and you ain't got the guts to come to church. Gloria said, Kenneth, that's not the spirit of a pastor. I said, I don't care. I ain't a pastor. Well, it was ugly. I know. I repented. I was sleepy. No, but I've learned over the years, if I get out of my calling, I get to messing around on something over just because I see a need that it needs to be done. And I get out of my calling, then I'm out of my anointing. You get out of the anointing, I am fixing to mess up my own self. I'm going to mess up somebody else's ministry. I am fooling around out there in an area that I ain't got any business doing because I am not called to do that. And we have made a big mistake in the body of Christ trying to make our pastors jack of all trades. And they're not. They're pastors. And I see some guy that's just a dynamite pastor. Man, I know him literally by the thousands. And I see a guy like Dan Stratton sitting there, praise God, and all these other pastors over here. I could just start and just go down the road. And I see you guys, and I think, oh, dear God, look at them. Ain't they fine, man? And they're pastoring, and they're doing what they're called to do. I couldn't have more to do that than I could go to the moon. I just ain't called to do that, man. And I look at him and I say, I don't know how in the world you stay in one spot. And they say, I don't see how in the world you live out of a suitcase. Beats all I ever saw. And I mean, I get home, I'm like, man, I don't want to go no more. But give me about a couple of days rest and my feet go to itching, you know. Woohoo! Now, let's go have a meeting, man. Why? That's what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
And where you're appointed, well, that means that I'm supposed to work with these pastors. They work with me. Yeah. We put our anointings together. We create an anointing that didn't exist before we came together.
Yeah.
So, and that's the way this thing functions. But now, where we've missed it here is not realizing what we were doing, not understanding what we were doing, and then got into religious answers, natural, physical, carnal answers to spiritual problems, and created religious ideas that have robbed people blind, literally blind. What was the problem? Well, Jesus is Lord over sickness. He's high priest over healing. He's the high administrator over healing. There's a difference. Well, I don't see no difference. That's the reason it's so hard for you to receive. We have fixed our eyes on the lordship of Jesus and should have. We had to find out he is Lord. Oh, we had to find out Satan was defeated and all of hell had been trampled. Amen. Because religion had taught us that Satan is more powerful than God. Yeah. Oh, I'd never say that, Brother Copeland. But then somebody come up and say, Satan in the name of Jesus. But they wouldn't say that. They'd say, oh, God, rebuke the devil for us. Well, that's not the lordship of Jesus. That's religious surrender. The word never said for you to ask God to cast out the devil. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say that. It says, in my name you cast him out. You put on the full armor of God. You take a stand. See? You're a king. You are a lord. Under his high lordship. Amen? So you go into God then and you say, oh, God, don't you understand how sick I am? Oh, I'm so sick. I'm just dying. Oh, if you don't do something, I can't live. Oh, my children are on dope. We're all going to hell. What are we going to do? Oh, God. Oh, the Democrats are going to get us. The Republicans are going to get us. Oh, we're going to lose our country. Oh, God, we're going to lose the war. We're going to lose everything. God, help us, God, help us. And then wonder why nothing happens. That's exactly what Job was doing. The scripture states it in the 3rd chapter of the book of Job. He said, I was troubled. I could not sleep. And trouble came anyway. He thought he was being a responsible parent by worrying night and day for his children. And he got his kids killed. Amen. By not understanding that making the same sacrifice continually over and over and over. Oh, my kids are, oh, they're going to curse God. I know they're going to curse God. Well, what's he doing? He's not taking the words of the blessing. He's taking the words of fear. And he's asking God to defeat something he had already defeated. See, you're asking Jesus to be Lord over the sickness in your life, and he's already defeated the sickness in your life.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah.
Every sickness and every disease is under the curse. And Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, that's the healing, might come on the Gentiles or on the rest of us through Christ, through the anointing of Jesus.
Amen.
The high administrator of the blessing.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
So now, what is the method of receiving? Well, we already have authority and lordship over sin, over sickness, over demons, over fear, over lack, over poverty.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
So we stand in that authority. I rebuke you, Satan. You're not going to get my kids. No, 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 no. I take authority over you by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the living God Almighty. And then read, give him a Bible lesson. Read to him for about a half a day. He won't be nowhere in sight. What are you doing? You're exercising the lordship of Jesus. Now you receive through his high administration position. How? Saying the same thing. Now, I know that you defeated sickness and disease. I know you defeated drugs and stealing and killing and demons that are trying to kill my babies and my family. I know you bore this poverty. I know you broke the power of it. And I receive it. I receive your lordship. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. You are, oh, you're the high and lifted up potentate of all mankind.
Yes, Lord. Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
But I have announced something now, but I haven't as yet received anything.
Right.
He's not just the Lord, he's the healer.
Uh-huh. Amen.
He's the high priest.
Yes.
He's a faithful high administrator. He doesn't administrate sickness and disease. He's Lord over sickness and disease. He administrates healing.
Amen.
He doesn't administrate poverty. Oh, that is God that made me poor so I could better appreciate God. Now, you have got to be religious to even think that. Nobody in his right mind would ever think that anywhere but church. God is not the one taken away from you. God is the one that is there to give it to you. God so loved the world that he gave, not take away. All he ever took away from you was the curse and the sin, the poverty. So how do you receive from Jesus the high administrator? It's spelled out right there in that third chapter. See, he's not just Lord. I must fix my mind on his administration, the high priest, the giver, the life giver, the healer, the financier. He's not just my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my master. He's my leader. He's my guide. Oh, he ministers bread from a food and seed from a sowing, and he multiplies my seed sown. Well, glory to God. See, I'm talking about his priestly ministry now. I'm talking about his administration of the kingdom of God, of which I am a citizen in good standing. Thank you.
That's right. That's right.
And so are you. Amen. Now, look on here. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. Moses, verily, was faithful in all his house as a servant. For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But the anointed one, as a son, and let me, for illustration purposes, add this to illustrate this. As a son and chief administrator over his own house, whose house we are. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hallelujah. Don't ever turn loose of it. Don't ever turn loose of his lordship. Don't ever turn loose of his administration. My Lord, don't ever turn loose of his high priestly ministry. My goodness. Well, I guess God just wants me to be sick. How dare you? Him go to hell? Suffer the bowels of this earth?
so you could stay sick?
That'll be the day. That's an insult to the blood.
Well, I didn't mean it like that, Brother Copeland. Well, shut up then.
Get these words in your mouth. He did it for me. He loves me as much as he loves Jesus.
What?
Yeah. Jesus was praying in the 17th chapter of John, and he said, Father, show the whole world that you love them as much as you do me. First time I read that, I thought, uh-oh. He loves me as much as he does Jesus. I thought, happy.
If it wasn't written in red, I'll...
But I got to believe it. And I stood there and I struggled with that. And I said, I'm going to say it. God loved me as much as he does Jesus. And literally my knees were shaking. So I just said it again. And I said it again. And I said it again, and I kept saying it until it began to flush the fear out of me. And the love of God began to develop on the inside of me. Praise the Lord. I began dancing around my room. My God, God loves me just as much as he does Jesus. And then the word of the Lord came and just interrupted all of that and said, why, certainly I gave him to get you. Didn't he do it? Didn't the word say he did it? Well, how long is it going to take for us to believe it? It's been 2,000 years. Don't you think it's time? Yes, it is. It's time not only to believe it, but walk in it. Live it. Hallelujah. He is the administrator of the secret place of the Most High God. And we should be taking up our habitation there by saying, he's my Lord. He's my fortress. He's my God. And in him I do trust. And 1,000 at one side and 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come nigh me. He loves me just as much as he does Jesus. Thank you very much.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Back there years ago, and I started hollering like that, you know, 40 years ago, 41 years ago now. And people say, could you hear what that young whippersnapper from Texas come down here saying, my God, you just wait and see, the devil's going to take his challenge. See, religion had the idea that Satan is more dangerous. I mean, but then he turned around and said, well, it was God that made me sick. It's God that took my money, and it was God that killed my wife and my dog and my mule and everything else. Why? Total misunderstanding of the blessing and the curse. But we're learning. We're getting it. We're walking in it. And every day of our lives, we become a greater blessing to God and more dangerous to the devil. He is in big trouble, big time, and he knows it. He just won't admit it to himself. But there are millions of us. Millions of us. I said millions of us that have found it out. And the funny part of it is we are spreading like flies. I mean, it is happening all over the world. I'm going to close it up with this now. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go to 1 John. Nope, the Lord ain't going to let me do that. I can't go over there. I'm not going to be able to go over there until tomorrow night's service. We have to go to the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Talking about the faithful high priest. Faithful unto God, faithful unto us.
Oh, hallelujah.
Let's look at verse 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart, and neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high administrator. Whoa! He's head of our body. We're his house. He's the brains of this operation. Amen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our saying the same thing. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of his grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. How? By saying the same thing. Give the Lord a shout.
Hallelujah.
Right there. Hallelujah. Now, I stood up on my treadmill. A lot of people saw me receive the Passover miracle. Praise God! Right here in this auditorium, when the final miracle came in my back, that disc blew up in my back, and there was a big chunk of that. The disc just blew out of there. And there was a big chunk of it about the size of my little fingernail that got over in the nerve canal in that vertebrae. The piece of that disc got down in there and lodged in there and pinched that whole bundle of nerves in there. And I tell you, dear Lord God, I've been shot, whooped, run over, kicked by mules, bit by dogs. I've been cut. I ain't never hurt in my life until that happened to me. I don't have any way to explain that. Dear God, that hurt. And I'm just determined. I am not going to lay down under this in the name of Jesus. I'm healed, and I'm that's just the way it is. Well, God. Weeks without sleep. One heating pad wrapped around my thigh, the other one wrapped around the calf of my leg, and I tied them up with bathrobe sashes. Tied them on there and turned the power up on them just as high as I could get. Maybe it hurt worse than others. Give me some relief and one in pain. And I was laying out there on the back porch, man. Oh, God. I'm screaming and hollering and hurting and praising God all the same time and all that. And I decided, well, one thing I can do here, I can be grateful by faith. I mean, my other leg ain't hurting. That's progress. My arms are not hurting. My hair don't hurt nowhere. And so I just started thinking. I said, I want to thank you, my other leg doesn't hurt. Amen. My feet don't hurt. My hands don't hurt. Look at that. Two good arms. Glory to God. And I noticed the louder I would shout my gratitude to God, that the more that pain would begin to subside. So I started thanking him for the grass, thanking him for the trees, bugs, birds, anything I could think of.
I'm just grateful. I thought, oh, God, look at this. Look at this. Oh, I'm so grateful for this beautiful home you gave glory in me. Dear God, look at this. Whoa! I was just shouting and being grateful. And I noticed that pain would start subsiding, so I just started doing that all the time. And but I began to get weary. I hadn't slept, and I crawled up on that treadmill. And man, I didn't even want to see this thing. And God, I got up on that treadmill, and I hollered out loud, "Jesus, how long before you hear me or this?" Now, I knew better than that when I said it. I knew it was wrong. It come out in my mouth, and I thought, started slapping myself around. But pain will wear you down, particularly if you're not spending enough time in the Word to overcome it. And I wasn't spending any time in the Word. I'm hurting too bad. I was too sick to go to healing meeting. Oh, you ain't ever been that way?
I don't want to go down there. I don't feel like getting up, getting ready to go down there. I don't care if I do have miracles. I ain't going down there. God just healed me here at the house. Well, did he? No.
Oh, Lord. I hollered that out, and I heard the voice of Jesus. Right, Danny?
Yeah, come on.
He said, "Kenneth, you're not giving me anything to work with. You're trying to get me to do something that's outside my calling, and I'm not going to do it." He said, "You don't do things outside your calling, and I'm not going to do things outside my calling. Now, you're screaming, begging, and crying for me to come heal you." And he said, "You're asking me to be Lord over something I'm already Lord over. I don't need to defeat that pain in your body. I don't need to defeat that in your back. I don't need to do that. I've already done it. I've already defeated sickness and disease. I've already defeated that slipped and destroyed, exploded disc in your back." And he said, "If you don't get my word in your mouth, you're in big trouble, boy." "Well, I don't understand that, Brother Copeland. I mean, I thought you was a man of faith. Looked like God had healed you. He's not going to heal me because I preach. Healing's not a reward." No. I said, "Yes, sir. I'll get it done." I just went to work on it right then. No, I didn't feel like it. And I didn't get it in no 2 or 3 days either. "Well, why didn't you?" I don't know. If you want to know, ask God. I don't care. I'm totally, completely healed. Amen. But I know the reasons why. And it wasn't God, it's me. He didn't have nothing to do with it. He's there all the time. But I'm pushing him to do something outside of his calling. Outside of the Word. But when I realize that it's the same thing. It's wrong for me to do something outside of my calling. He's not going to move because of your begging or because of your fear. How could he do that? Would he meet your need just because you have a need? No. He meets your needs when you receive from him.
"I don't understand why God didn't heal me."
It wasn't a matter of him not healing you. It was a matter of you not receiving. God's not ever been your problem. He's not your problem now. He'll never be your problem in the future. He is your Savior. He is your Redeemer. He is your Deliverer. He loves you beyond your wildest imagination. The problem is in your and my disobedience. It is in your and my lack of attention to His Word and His ways of doing things. Now, if He was meeting your need just because you hurt because you've done it, "I just can't seem to touch God with my infirmity."
We just got the reading. He's easily touched with the feelings of your infirmity. But his feelings won't heal you any more than your feelings will heal you. He's a man. His feelings are in his emotions, just like your feelings are in your emotions. But the healing power is in his anointing, in his word, in his spirit, in his faith. Amen. Now, if he healed you just because you was hurting or just because you had a need, he'd just be following the devil around. Well, he run over here. The devil, well, and just, well, the devil, look at there what the devil did over there. No, never, never, never. He has a prescribed calling, and it's no different than yours or mine or anyone else's. We're going to walk by faith.
Amen.
And not by sight.
Amen.
And we're going to walk in his name, in his blood, and in his life, and in his ways. And we're going to keep the commandment of love, or you're not going to get anything.
Amen.
And you might as well just settle down in it. Well, you just sound to me like a legalist. Well, if I'm a legalist, I'm the healedest legalist you ever saw. I have no debts. And I'm a wealthy man. Amen. Now, I know that makes some newspaper reporters just livid. But I can't help it. Boy, go jump off a bridge or something. I mean, God bless you. But the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he had no sorrow for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a father. I have a daddy. And he's rich, 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 rich. And he's the biggest thing in the valley. That's the reason when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Because I'm telling you, Bubba, he's the biggest thing out there. Somebody stand up and give the Lord a shout and an amen. Whoa! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I'm so thrilled with what's going on around us. This is a time of great blessing. It's time of overwhelming abundance and prosperity in the kingdom of God. We're touching the hem of the resurrection garment right now.
Hallelujah.
We're just right there. But it's the most dangerous time in the history of the human race. It's the most heavily persecution-ridden time in the history of man. The righteous are going to be persecuted. You can, yeah, but now you can go at it one or two ways. You know, when I was playing ball, I didn't think I was suffering for my school. I was playing a game. And it was my job to make them other people suffer. And even though I'm working out then and I'm working, you know, till I lose my dinner and everything else, but I wasn't suffering and hurt. Dear God, man, I'm so sore. Every muscle, every bone is hurting. My hair's in pain. My eyebrows are hurting. I'm hurting all over. But I didn't know it. Amen. I wasn't sitting over there on that bench saying, oh, I hope that coach don't see me. Oh, I hope that coach don't see me. Oh, I hope they don't put me in there. Look at the size of that big old tackle over there. Oh, if they were to give me the ball. Oh, Kenny don't want the ball.
No, no. I won't in there. I won't in there. Whoa, man. There's some bone crushing that needs to be going on out here today. Well, you know, we can either glory in tribulation. Hallelujah. Or run and hide. Our own God don't know.
I'm being persecuted.
Really? Is that what that is? Oh, I'll tell you. Jesus said, you shall receive 100-fold in this life with persecution. The persecution comes with the money. Because the devil thinks it's his and the thief don't have title deed to anything. And he's going to try to steal it back. But then that's where the weapons of our warfare come in. Hallelujah. I mean, you just need to learn how to put that sword on him when he comes up in there. That ain't his stuff. So, we're going to be talking about some of these things. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. We'll be no, don't miss in the morning service, particularly in the partner service. I want to take you through some things and show you how to win every time. Praise God. Glory and I have been doing this for 41 years coming this January, and we've learned some things. We haven't learned near all of it, but I'll tell you what, we ain't never been defeated. And it wasn't because of us, particularly me. Dear Lord, I mean, I was an accident going somewhere to happen, but between glory and Jesus, I mean, you know, they jerked a lot of slack out of me. But by the grace of God and by the word of God and by the leadership and guidance of the Holy Ghost, he'll overcome your mistakes. My spiritual father, Oral Roberts, told me a few years ago, he said, Kenneth, I had never made a mistake. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, now there's a lot of stuff I did turned out to be a mistake. But he said, I never got up some morning and said, I'm telling you one thing, I'm going to make a mistake today. No, he said, I never made one on purpose. Well, I learned something. God understands where you are. He'll teach you and train you how to be victorious. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There's not anything out there in that persecuting world order that faith won't overcome. Amen. As you can tell, I'm eager to get in there. I want to get in on this thing tomorrow. We're gonna get into some good things, praise God. And you can be victorious over that mess that Satan thinks he's got you trapped in right now. There ain't no way. No, no, like the old railroaders used to say, go to the roundhouse, Sadie. They can't corner you there. I mean, get in the full armor of God. He can't corner you. He hadn't got any trap for you. Yeah, but the pressure. Well, put some pressure on yourself. You start putting the pressure on. You press. You press forward. You press. Hallelujah. Every head bowed. Any person in this room. Say, Brother Copeland, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. But tonight I want him. I don't want another second in this lousy, sin-filled world without a Savior, praise God. Without a victor. Without a leader and a guide and a helper. I want him. I'd be honored to lead you in that prayer. And anyone that say, Brother Copeland, I've known Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I've gotten out of Father's house and I've gotten into the world and I've gotten into sin again. And dear God, oh, Brother Kenneth, you think he'll take me back? Well, he's a faithful and a just high priest. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he would be unjust and unfaithful if he didn't accept you back.
Now, Brother Copeland, I've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't have that supernatural prayer language that you talk about. I don't have that supernatural praise language, like the Apostle Paul talked about it, and like they talked about on the day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want that. Well, it's for you, and you can have it right now. Jesus said, how much more, your Heavenly Father, will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? Hallelujah. He's so good. Thank you for it, Father. Now, anyone comes under the heading of any one of those three things that I mentioned to you, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, come back to Father's house, or to be filled to overflowing with the Spirit of the living God. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to put your faith in action and step out from where you are right now and come down here and allow me the honor and the privilege of leading you in that prayer. Would you do that? Would you just step out and come down here and just stand right here and front of me? Hallelujah. Anyone at all? Yeah, praise God. I love it when people just jump and run. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on down from the balcony. We'll wait on you. Come on down and get in on this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I surrender all. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender all. Amen.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Hallelujah. Sing it again, Lynn. That's still coming. Praise the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, come and run and praise the Lord. We'll wait on you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, here comes some more. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Anyone else? Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 10th chapter of Romans. I'll never forget it. November the 2nd, 1962, just before 8 o'clock in the evening, I did this. And I came across a scripture that said Christ died for the ungodly. I thought, man, I qualify. He came down me talking about me. And in here in the 10th chapter of Romans, it says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, these are holy words. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And I found out I was a whosoever. See, I was laboring under the idea that I had sinned away my opportunity for grace. And I had some people that helped me with that revelation. I thought I was doomed. But Mama kept praying. And Mama kept telling me different. And I finally listened. And that night I accepted Jesus as my Lord in my living room. Now listen to what it said. There is no difference between the Jew, the Greek, same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, the same thing has to do with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't, you can't earn that the more you earn this. Whoever shall call on the name of the baptizer. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't know that. And I, like I told you earlier, I went up there because Dr. Reed said go up there, and all them guys standing over me, and some of them saying hang on, some of them saying let go, brother, you know, and all that. I don't know what they want me to do. I just was standing there, and I thought, you know, this is great and wonderful. I'm just standing there. And they finally gave up on me, but they're still praying over Gloria. And finally, Dr. Reed said, let's go pray for Gloria. I said, okay. So all the women standing over praying over Gloria. So I ain't doing the same thing. And I just standing there behind her. And Dr. Reed said, lay your hands on her. I said, no. Lay your hands on somebody and pray? I ain't never done nothing like that. Lay your hands on her. No, I don't. And I was standing there with my... I saw my daddy in the Baptist church. He's deacon in the Baptist church, you know, and he stood up in the back like this. And I thought, that's what's he supposed to do? And I'm just standing there. And Dr. Reed said, put your hand on her, man. It's my own wife, you know, dear God. Put my hand on her, and all of a sudden something or other happened to me. And I said, oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, man, hallelujah. And I went over and just sat down in a chair. I said, oh, and something rolling around in there. And I thought, oh, God, oh, Lord. And Dr. Reed walked over and put his hand on my head and said, quit talking English. I said, oh, look at my heart. And, man, I mean, I let her rip, you know. Well, I had to leave that night. Gloria stayed. I had to fly that airplane back to Little Rock that night by myself, cold January night, 1963. And I got that thing up to altitude and put the autopilot on. I'm sitting there. You could just see a million stars. I said, Lord, now, I don't know. I just don't know. Beans about what I'm doing here. But I like that. And, I mean, I don't know if, you know, I can do that again or not. And I don't know if, you know, I really honest, I said, I don't know whether that's what I was supposed to get over tonight or not, if that is you or whatever it was. But I said, I'm going to say some of them words again. See, I'm so religiously stupid, I don't know you can't do that. And I found out there's only religion that says you can't. And I said, I'm gonna say some more of them words. And I said whatever it was. And boy, here it come again. It's just rolling out of me. I mean, I am having me a time. And all of a sudden, I could see the lights of Little Rock. I'm going to have to call approach control. And I thought, how is this going to come out? Are they going to be able to understand anything I say? And then I thought, I don't really care. And in my mind, all this is coming out of my mouth. And in my mind, I said, Lord, you either going to have to do something with my tongue or with their ears or something. I got to call them. And I was amazed, you know, when I found out. I called on Little Rock Approach Control. This is so-and-so, I'm 20 miles southwest of the airport, be landing. And I thought, that come out right. I guess. Sounded right. Landed the airplane, got out, and I shouted and danced all over that tarmac. Man, they thought I had lost my mind. I had. My mind was put aside. And the thing that I'm saying to you tonight is, same thing I said to you a while ago, he did it for the ungodly. And you and I qualify. Amen. Put your hand over your heart. All of you out there in congregation, do the same thing. Lift the other hand up towards heaven. Pray this out loud, loudly enough you can hear it with your own ears. Oh, Father in heaven, I believe with all my heart, Jesus has been raised from the dead. Just for me. And I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my future. Thank you, sir. I receive your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. I receive by faith right now that supernatural prayer language. Praise language. Language I never learned before. The language of the Spirit. I receive it. It's mine. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior forever. I'll follow you the rest of my days. I'll serve you throughout eternity. I love your word. If you said it, I believe it. I'll walk in it. Satan, get out of my life. I take authority over you. I rebuke you. Take your hands off of God's property. In the name of Jesus, get under my feet and leave. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now give the Lord a praise and a shout. Give the Lord a thanksgiving. Hallelujah. The time of great victory has come. The time for overwhelming outrageous outpourings of the Spirit of glory has come. It is time for it to be manifest. It's time to be manifest in the government. It's time to be manifest in the churches. It's time to be manifest in the stock market. It's time to be manifest in the business realm. It is time for this nation to be number one in the world again, not because of its smartness, not because of its money, but because of its spiritual humility before God. Hallelujah. I have never given up on you, saith the Lord.
Never.
I never have, and I never will. Those that come around and say it's time for America to be cursed, you tell them to check with me before they say that. I gave birth to this nation. And until I'm done, no curse can survive. Because my people, called by my name, have turned from their wicked ways and they have humbled themselves before me, and they have repented. I didn't say the whole nation. I said my people that are called by my name. I will hear from heaven. I will heal the land, and I am doing it right now. And if you don't believe it, you just stand by and watch, saith the Lord of grace. Hallelujah! My Lord. Glory. All of you, God bless your heart. I'm so thrilled that you came down tonight. See that preacher standing under that Bible in his hand right there? There is a very special place of prayer. They have some things in there I want to give you that I want to sow into your life. I would like for you to go back there. If you only pray back there 5 minutes or half the night, I mean, it's for you. And we have some special things we want to minister to you. If you would, just follow him to that special place of prayer right there, please. And give the Lord a praise and thanksgiving as they go. I'm so thrilled over that. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you, sir. Amen. Oh, shout hallelujah, somebody. Give the Lord great praise and honor. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Dan Stratton, come up here. Hallelujah. In the spirit, I saw a spirit of tiredness and weariness that's doing its best to attach itself to you and pull you down. Well, this ain't pulling down time, man. This is getting up morning. Hallelujah. This is a time to stir yourself up like you never stirred yourself. All the things that look like, oh dear God, it just ain't gonna come to pass. It's coming to pass. A whole lot more stuff working than you have any idea. Seeds that you sowed 20 years ago are coming to head right now. They're coming up. They're coming up all over this nation, and they're coming up around the world. So in the name of Jesus, be refreshed. Joy. Joy of the Lord. Joy. Coming up morning. Hallelujah. Glory. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout and an amen.
I love you, brother. I love you, brother.
This is the kind of stuff that happens to apostles. And that's who you are.
You just have to keep driving. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I'm stirring you up on the inside. We're going to war, Bubba.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. We're going to kick some backside and take names, man. I tell you right now, it's fighting time. It's time to enter this devil's camp and rip him every way but Sunday. It is time to take the people and the souls and the sick and the tired out of his dominion and to strip him of all the money he's got. And spend it on the souls and spend it on the revival of God. And get somebody healed and get somebody saved. And you're just the man that can do it. Hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Wherever you are tomorrow, either cause a revival or a riot. Do something. Amen. Be who you are. You're the salt of the earth. Amen. It didn't say the weak would inherit the earth. It said the meek will inherit the earth. Meek don't mean weak. You ready to sing it?
Then sings my soul.